I go as far as to say, like, in my outreach, I don't want you guys promoting unless you try the product and you like it. And that kind of separates the paycheck transactional versus mission-based affiliate partners.
This is Digital Marketer.
Hey everyone, this is Mark DeGrasse, the president of Digital Marketer, and this is the podcast that keeps you up to date on everything you need to know when it comes to digital marketing, from the platforms you'll be focused on to the kind of tactics and tools that are working today. Today, our guest is Joey Valancourt, the head of partnerships at BioOptimizer and the founder of Partner Up Profits podcast. And I love podcasts, so I always love to hear that. So welcome to the show, Joey.
Thanks, Mark. Glad to be here.
All right. So I'm super excited to talk to you because, you know, I've done some affiliate marketing in the past. I think it's really had a resurgence in the last few years, I think kind of, you know, driven by influencer marketing and kind of this evolving network of genuine content creators that are featured on platforms like TikTok and Instagram and, you know, are the new stuff that some of the older marketers don't even understand what's happening these days. So I figured we could start with, you know, what does affiliate marketing look like today in the modern market?
Yeah, so to look like forward, I think we got to look backward a little bit. It used to be for me, direct response email affiliates. That was my bread and butter. That's what I built my career on and did a really good job at it. What happened was the well started to dry up. It was like when that channel went down, everything shut down for me. So really what I looked for is omni-channel opportunities. How could I continue to diversify, multiply, and then amplify the results I get with all different partnership opportunities, including content creators, which is the kind of the new big thing coming out. Like, you know, whatever platform they're on, I look at them as a monetization partnership opportunity. So it could be TikTok, could be social, but we're really seeing a new era of affiliates in the content creation side. And they could drive a lot of money to business. And there's one in particular, YouTube is something that lives on. It never really dies. Like the video stays up. And if it gets viral traction or if it gets secondary viral traction, you see everyone doing, for example, like, you know, I did the Andrew Huberman diet for 30 days, what I, you know, experienced. Those are really great creators to start to piggyback on because they're still in the micro niche. They haven't reached a celebrity status. So there's a lot of different avenues we could explore, but that's a big one.
Ah, I love that. Well, and it sounds like, you know, it's dynamic and it's omni-channel, which, you know, I always talk about, you know, cohesive marketing strategies, because for the last, you know, 10, 20 years, we've kind of gone into the habit of siloing where you're like, well, this is content over here and this is email over here and this is social over here and here's paid media over here. And then nobody was really talking to each other. So I think, you know, what you're describing is actually what all marketing should be these days. But it's a little tricky. You know, I think one of the main things that people don't understand about affiliate marketing is it's essentially community building, and you're trying to train these people how to present the information about your company or your product so that they sell it or are more successful at selling it. So let's start there. You know, how do you go about recruiting affiliates that could kind of, you know, do everything that you're talking about?
Yeah. So I like to classify or kind of partner categorize who I'm outreaching. So if it's like affiliate email, or email affiliates, okay, take for example, somebody who doesn't necessarily put their face on screen, but they've got an email list or they have several lists and they can drive traffic to your business and sell your product because they're perfectly positioned with their audience. That's one type of affiliate. The second type is like content creators. The third type, which is kind of like a paid media play, but it could be like podcast advertising. You're advertising on a podcast of an affinity brand or interest, some sort of audience that's harmonized with your company, your product. And you could do interviews as well. Like, so there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but I think that it's just monetizing through someone else's audience. And what I really come back to with clients, some people don't care to build a brand, but I always think of if you want to build a brand in today's market, affiliates sell products, influencers build brands. So that's the way I start to separate how I'm going to target and outreach them. As far as like how I prospect, which is I have one really cool exercise. So I'm a big, like I'm passionate about helping bootstrappers, the people, the boots on the ground, the in the trenches that are given a limited budget and have to do a bunch of things like yesterday, you know, that are due today. So what I did is I developed an exercise where I actually find over 500 influencers for free just through 20 steps. So it's like a rinse and repeat system I can give to my teams, they can give to their teams, their clients, et cetera, to just, you know, basically go and find 500 prospects for free. Because there's no shortage of platforms out there that you can find influencers and content creators. but you're paying an enterprise investment, which not everyone's ready to do. I like to think of clients like, where are you at in the investor profile? What are you willing to invest in this? What's your level of knowledge and experience? Don't go pay an enterprise platform fee just to find influencers. So I take you through a 20-step process in this. And it's really, I'll give an example because I think tactically it's nice to unpack this, but there's 20 different ways to do it. One of the ways is go to an influencer's profile, find out who's commenting on them, start looking into those profiles, go down the rabbit holes of who's interacting, because some people are interacting because they're genuinely interested in them. They're interacting because they want to piggyback on social shares, get people to follow them. So they're all interest aligned though. And from that influencer, I could find another influencer and continue down the rabbit hole. And it's incredible who's commenting on these profiles and their follower counts. So right there, out of those 20 exercises, I find like 500 in a few hours. And from that point on, I've had like 4 weeks of outreach that my teams can do for me.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, and it's so systematic. And I think that's the point where a lot of people miss on affiliate programs is they think it's just like a plug and play. Like, oh yeah, affiliate. We'll just put a, would you like to become affiliate when they check out on the product? And then we'll have a zillion affiliates, which looks good for the metrics, but doesn't do anything for the brand unless you do what you're talking about, which is that proactive, you know, approach to both recruiting, making sure that they line up with the brand itself, and the research that you could do online just by looking at the followers, the people who make comments. Like it's not difficult, but it's almost like so obvious that I think a lot of people don't take that step because they're like, well, I could use an industry report or I could use a white paper. It's like, no, you could literally just see them and talk to them if you want when you are approaching these people. So let's say you found those 500. They look really good. What's the next step of the process to get them to, you know, become partners?
So one thing to note is I'm looking for mission-based affiliates, mission-based influencers. I'm not looking for transactional. Transactional have a place, and I'll give one example of a transactional playbook. If you want to build up a UGC section, a testimonial section that gives more personality to your brand, to the face of your product, et cetera, you can go hire actors. Like there's influencers that are actors. Like that's the way I look at it. It's not necessarily a mission-based influencer that's going to be part of my community. I'm leveraging their face because they're good on camera and they're good at, like, you know, reading scripts. So that's one strategy, one playbook that clients could use. But really what you're talking about is like building a community of brand ambassadors. And that's what I want to do. I want to put in the work today that then gets leveraged over the next couple of years because these people love the products. They love you. They love what you're doing. They support you. So first and foremost, really understand if this is right for your business, if this is like what you're after, or if it's just the money. It's okay if it's just the money. But like the way I'm going to outreach people is very in line with what I just mentioned. So now I'm going to go after people, and it's like a game of numbers, like anything, like any sales position, like any outbound recruiting position. You just have to put in the time and the reps, measure and optimize and see what works and what doesn't. But we'll typically start with some nurturing. So phase one is like nurturing, liking, commenting, finding out more about them, and really making an honest effort to understand who they are. Because if I want them to be part of my program, my business, I do want to actually know who they are. But that's just me. Some people, you know, they could do this at volume games. I'm giving you my interpretation of it. And then from there, once you start engaging, you know, you're going to be hitting them up on different platforms, just like any other way. You could do automation through this though too. There's tools you can use, but I'll hit them up on a DM, Facebook. I'll send them a postcard, a video postcard, all these different ways. And the levels of outreach depends on the level of tier. So a tier one celebrity influencer is typically represented by an agency. I'm not going to get in touch with them through a DM. So it's going to take a little bit longer and it's going to take a bit more work versus a micro influencer who's like, I consider a tier five is 10,000 followers or less. We're dealing with vanity metrics, by the way, but just know that like that's one way to categorize and tier. They'll typically maybe answer a DM or an email because they're still representing themselves to some degree. So you're just constantly putting out lines and seeing who can come back. And there's some templates you can use, like outreach messaging. And I like to lead with abundance over scarcity when it comes to outreach. So if you have a product, don't be shy about giving out that product. I'm measuring how much product's going out, what the return looks like, just like a line item on a scorecard is. But ultimately, it is a game of numbers, and it's just about the system. The system, to me, is way more important than the software. You can have all these softwares out there that does this for you, and there are great ones out there. The problem is people don't go in with the proper system. And if you don't have the system, the software is kind of useless, right? Like, how much do I pay people? How much product should I give? Who should I outreach? Should I pay that person that amount? There's so much homework to do in architecting prior to doing that. But ultimately, that's my outreach play. It's pretty boring, but like it first. I mean, tracking and optimizing the system has just been my keys to success no matter what I do.
I love that. Well, I love how you know, when you are prospecting, you're not, you know, saying, oh, this person only has 5,000 followers or this person only has 10,000 followers, because honestly, that number doesn't matter. It's the connection with the people, because really you could have 100 people, but if every person you talk to buys the thing that you recommend because they think you're awesome, then you could be way more effective than somebody who might have 1 million followers that actually is very superficial, which I think you'll see. And, you know, there's certain markets for it, but, you know, if you look a certain way, some people just like all your stuff because you look that way, and it has nothing to do with the influence or impact that you have on actual decisions like spending money, which is a whole different relationship, which is the relationship that you want people to have for the influencers that you're recruiting. Now, I do know that some industries are more geared towards affiliate programs and that type of marketing than others. Which ones do you think are the best, like the most effective in terms of your type of affiliate marketing?
So you're talking like influencers and ambassadors?
No, the actual products. So I know supplements, of course, are, you know, a great industry, you know, high margin, plus, you know, deals with individual health, which everybody should be concerned about. Then you have, you know, other things like SaaS, or, you know, you'll see people pitching AI products now.
I was at an event and I did a roundtable with a bunch of different companies, you know, like they had supplements, some had SaaS, they had all these different services. And it gave me a good insight on that question as like, how do you structure this for different categories of companies? What it came down to for me was a really simple architect or like framework of thinking. What are you currently paying to acquire a customer through your Facebook ads or whatever advertising you're doing? That's your CAC, your customer acquisition cost, whatever you want to call it. Now, whenever you're, here's what happens, a lot of people, they don't want to pay affiliates. They're like, I'll give them like a 5% commission. And I was like, nobody's interested in that. You know, like you got to really pay, because they're like an extension of your sales team. I heard this recently from Amber Spears, and I was like, that resonates with me. Like you're basically paying them nothing. Okay. And they're going out and recruiting for you. They're your sales team. And you know, if they don't perform, they don't get paid. So what it comes down to for me is like, what are you willing to pay on day one? And knowing your numbers is super important. So whether you're a SaaS, whether you're a supplement-based company, I've seen digital info products give 100% on day one because they know their day seven, they're going to be profitable, or they can afford to be in the hole until day 30. So it's just changing your mindset. And I mentioned it before, abundance over scarcity. When it comes to affiliates, you have to be aggressive. You can't be scarcity and try to, you know, I'm only going to give 5% commissions to those influencers because I want to keep as much margin as possible. That's going to detract from their interest, especially when you're dealing with commission-based. When you're dealing with like, you know, flat fees, yeah, I mean, you got to pay them and they either perform or they don't. So I don't like those as much. I like the hybrid payment system. So, and this usually comes after a pay-to-play deal or, you know, if somebody's kind of going up the ranks. So if I started as a micro-influencer, all of a sudden, 2 years later, I have like 30,000, 50,000 followers. Well, all of a sudden, I want a bit of a paycheck. But I like hybrid deals simply because now they're accountable to the promotion. If they're only on commissions, I can't necessarily transact and say, by the way, every month you owe me a post. But if they're tied to just a little bit of a payment, I can obviously go back and say, hey, what happened to that post? And mitigating the risk because they're also on commission. So I think that to answer the question, I think that every company is poised to go into influencer marketing, partnership marketing, et cetera, provided you know your numbers and you're willing to be aggressive on your payouts. But I guess another way to look at it is, you know, I did an influencer marketing assessment. Like, do you have a face to your company? Do you have a great story? Could you go on podcasts? Obviously, if that's not you, then podcast probably isn't for you. If you don't want to be in the public eye, you don't want to be scrutinized because maybe your product has some compliancy issues. Maybe it's still a great product, but you can't go to the levels you need to in order to be scrutinized by like the public facing figures, right? You get what I'm saying a little bit? So you got to be careful the markets you go into. But I think that every company, provided they do the architecting properly and pay out, you know, a substantial amount on that day one payout, could really see an amplification of their program.
Ah, I love that. Hey, everyone. I wanted to quickly interrupt the podcast for a special announcement. If you're listening to this podcast because you want to become a better marketer, then I want to share with you what I believe to be the most comprehensive digital marketing program on the market today. It's called the Digital Marketing Mastery Certification. You'll learn to leverage the tools and channels to predictably and profitably drive awareness, leads, sales, and referrals, everything you need to know to become a true master of digital marketing. We'll take an in-depth look at the core digital marketing competencies, including content, email, social media, community, digital advertising, data and optimization, and more. After earning your digital marketing strategist certificate, you'll have the tools to effectively reach your target audience through a full scope marketing strategy. Get started today at digitalmarketer.com/strategycert. Well, and I think it's that is a big factor because people are like, well, if it works, great. You know, we'll lose some margin, like 20%, say, and that's fine. So I'm willing to do that, but no more than that. And they have to buy the product themselves, and they have to blah blah blah, and then they make all these requirements for people who are wanting to promote you. Now, with that said, is it a lot of times the best affiliates are those the ones that were past customers that love the product, or are they more the recruited ones that you found online?
It's a good mix. I like to throw a lot of lines out there. I like to do the shotgun blast. So we have an ambassador program for kind of customers converted to affiliates or influencer affiliates. While we're doing that, we're recruiting on the outreach side, like targeting people. But there have been instances with clients where they just love the products. They heard us on a podcast, they came in, which is another note to mention, like podcast attribution, as far as like sales, isn't always the greatest, but you're casting wide nets that's bringing in customers beyond just what you can track, and it's bringing in ambassadors. Like think about the people that are like, you know, if you're advertising on like a Joe Rogan show, all the ambassadors listening to Joe Rogan are then attracted to your brand, and they might not click a link, they might not care to get the 10% off code, but all of a sudden, like that's the conversation they're having. It's like, oh, these guys are on Rogan, these guys are on Tim Ferriss. Like it creates a higher level vision of who you actually are. So we definitely do the customer play, but I think we cast a lot of wide nets to kind of, you know, go after the brand awareness side too.
Oh, I love that. But I mean, no matter what, it's always helpful if people actually use the product, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, 100%. I go as far as to say, like in my outreach, I don't want you guys promoting unless you try the product and you like it. And that kind of separates the paycheck transactional versus mission-based affiliate partners that... like it's not the raw transactional affiliates. I don't, you know, for me, but personally, I want to leverage my time efficiently. And I know that it takes a lot more work to get transactional versus mission-based who are going to be around for a longer time.
Love that. Well, and it, just in general, marketing is always going to work better if you base on the mission and the people talking about the product are based on the mission or at least a similar mission, then we're all in line. And that's actually the cohesiveness that I always push for people to do, but it's really hard to do. So, well, let's get into the numbers a little bit, because I know you mentioned, like, you know, some people want to offer like a 5% commission. And I know even Amazon switched their policy. Was that last year where it was like they had something a little bit higher and then now it's down to like 3-5% or something? So depending on, you know, who your market is, probably who your product is, of course, do you have some guidelines in regards to like what's an enticing affiliate amount to get people in the door or kind of meet at least the minimum expectation?
With physical products, it depends on your COGS. Our break even on average, like, you know, for like Bioptimizers, Newtopia, it's like a 1.3, right? So if we break even, it's not a loss, it's not a definite win, but the point I guess that I'm trying to make is your Amazon ads, your Facebook ads might see a 5 or 500% return on ad spend, however you look at it. You'll never see that necessarily from affiliates, but you're raising all ships are like rising in the ocean, you know, like as you continue to market. So what I like to look at is my customer acquisition cost. Is it going up or is it going down on average across the board blended? You're not just going to look at that, but that's one good indication because again, podcast is very hard to track. So as far as definitive numbers, I think between 20-30% for supplements is a good starting point. But everything else is subjective to like knowing your numbers. What can you afford to give away? Knowing your LTV, your average retention rate, everything else that can justify that cost on day one. But I would go as far as to say that if I can break even on customer acquisition and then make back in 7-14 days, whatever that subscription looks like for you or, you know, your model, I'm happy with that. Not every company is going to be happy with that. So it's up to you. But of course, like info products, like I said, I've seen clients actually give 100% plus bonuses just to like get customers in the door and leads. And then the opposite you could do as well. You can do like a CPL cost per lead or some sort of way that just you're collecting opt-ins. So that's another way to do it. But again, it comes down to your business and knowing your numbers. But the philosophy I have is just be very generous, try to break even or make a bit of profit, but never treat it as you would a Facebook ad where it's like, I put a dollar in today, I got $2 out tomorrow. It will help that cause for you. You'll see an adjustment in a positive favor, but it's not going to ever reach that, you know, performance level that your other ads are potentially doing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it is good to note, like, hey, don't look at this exact same way that you would with a typical, methodology that could give you an ROI just based off of metrics. Because I think the effect of affiliates is like the effect of content itself, where it's like, no, it has a compounding effect over time. However, it's hard to track because this person may have promoted on 50 different channels and you don't know what's actually going to be effective, or that person and their content, what's going to be effective for whatever you're trying to sell currently. Now, in that regard, you do have people who, you know, if you're not touching, you know, if you're not giving them some touch points, the affiliates, then they're going to forget about you, or they're going to get, you know, onto another brand. What tips do you have in regards to kind of managing the community? Like, is it a daily email? Is it a Slack channel? Like, what's the process for keeping in touch with these people?
Yeah, it's a great question. And as you build your ambassador program, that becomes the question. It's like, hey, we acquired all these wonderful people. It's like, how do we keep them? Because now they're on the radar of your competitors, right? They're like, oh, wait a minute. Let's go after that guy. Like, let's get him. So that's become an obsession. And the way I look at it is there's four phases of partnerships. There's the architecting, there's the outreaching, there's the promotion, then there's phase four, which is what we're talking about now, the ascension, the evolution, the retention. And how you do that is gonna be different depending on the business, but here are a couple of ways that I like to do it. One, I wanna be generous with the promos we do. I wanna be generous with the marketing that we give people and empower them to make really good campaigns, whether it's affiliates, influencers, and what they need is very different. So an email affiliate needs emails. An influencer needs a strategy campaign brief. Like, what are they saying? What are the talking points? And don't assume that they know that. You need to tell them, here's the headline to test it well. Don't say stress, say sleep. Don't say this, say that. And obviously compliancy things too. So what we found is by being very generous with our knowledge, like what's working and sharing industry success based on what we've seen work in split tests, what we've seen work with other advertisers or influencers that are working with our brand, people value knowledge and that gives them reasons to stick around. And then of course, moving into a hybrid deal, like overall, I want them to be incentivized to stick around. So by moving into a hybrid deal, you can also tie into a contract and then do non-competes, exclusivity rights. Whereas if they're just commission-based, they don't have that built in unless you have that. Usually though, commissions, you don't actually do that. And then we check in. You have a product-based company, it's great. Sending products to them gives them reasons to promote. So we like to do quarterly shipments, right? Every quarter we do a sales threshold. You make X amount, you get X. You make Y amount, you get Y in products. Especially, again, we go back to mission-based. If they don't value your product, then that's not really valuable to them. So they just want the cash. But in the event that they like it, obviously COGS is a lot cheaper than cash. You know, like to give a product versus the actual cash value is a lot more beneficial for the company. So I'd like to continue to give them more product, continue to give them promotion material, marketing ideas. And then we do awards. We do like the Golden Globes each year. And we give out these, you know, partnership awards based on the tiers of sales, give them thresholds to meet so that next year they go from being like a silver partner to a gold, to a platinum, to a diamond. And a lot of great companies do this already. So we're trying to implement best practices to keep people engaged, entertained. And then we're unique where we actually have we call it a bio home in LA. So it's like this four-story building with a rooftop gym, full production facility, kitchen. We get to invite LA influencers into this place and have these wonderful conversations, shoot a bunch of content. And again, just give them back value beyond other companies' abilities to do the same way. So I think that was a lot, but there's a lot of other ways too I can get into, but I'll stop there.
No, that's fantastic. Well, and using the product like that, because like you said, you know, they're supposed to be on mission, which means they should like the product. And if they're making money off of it, then they should definitely be using it. So getting that kind of bonus kit, and you get to inform them of like, hey, not only do you get this free stuff, but now you know about the new products and you know about like what's current and what materials are current. And there's a whole bunch of awesome functions in there. Now, with that said, you actually have, you know, it sounds kind of like an MLM. And I think that's, you know, the MLM word is now like a bad word to say, but I'm sure you get that. Like, what's the difference between an MLM and the affiliate marketing that you're talking about?
Yeah, it's funny because I've heard that before from another company where I was like, we need this. It'd be cool to set up like a tier two system so that, if somebody refers me people, they make. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's like MLM is a bad word, but it shouldn't be. Maybe it's like this is an okay practice, but it's got a really bad name based on shoddy products. So I hope that, like anybody with really great responsibility, with the superpowers you're given and the products you're trying to sell, I hope that everyone's doing ethical things and selling products that actually work. So to me, we're all playing a part in selling something. And, affiliates are no different. It's not a taboo thing. It's not an unethical way to do it, provided that the marketing you're doing is compliant, the messaging is accurate, and you're not like selling some African jungle monkberry fruit from a tree that fell off. Like, there's a lot of sales pages that go a little bit to the extreme. And I think that influencers are the way to go whenever you want to build the brand and build a reputable business, because they've already established authority and credibility with their audience. So they're not going to be hawking products that they don't believe in, because that's going to destroy their reputation. So really, if you've cracked the code with influencers and they're actually signing up for your program, you're doing something right as well. So I don't know if that answers the MLM question. Maybe that's a philosophical debate that could continue. But I don't look at it that way at all. I look at it as like, this is a great tool for the modern age that we're in to continue to amplify and expand your partnerships program beyond just the traditional email affiliates.
I love that. Well, it's, I think the big difference is that it doesn't start with like, hey, you need to buy $10,000 worth of product and then you're going to hawk that to your friends. And then, and I think it's a different level of involvement than an affiliate program. Or affiliate program, honestly, if all you do is generate one link, you generate your affiliate link, and all you do is just mention it sometimes, like, that's affiliate marketing. There's no contract that you're signing. There's no purchase plans. There's no, membership in that traditional kind of sense. It's like, no, your community of creators is what it ends up being, right? And then you provide them with assets for more creating, and then a space for more creating. But it's much more like a partnership at that point instead of a, triangle. Pyramid.
That's a good way to look at it. And I redefined the affiliate program to partnerships program, because like, partnerships are affiliates, they're influencers, the content creators, they're your customers who become your referring partners. And to your point, like, they are part of your ecosystem. Like, if you look on sites now, you'll see brand ambassadors everywhere, So like, you're creating this wonderful family, this dynamic of like cohesive units together. Whereas like, I don't know, some affiliate programs don't necessarily do that. They don't need it, but they're driving sales behind the scene, which is great. But I think that this is just a new way of looking at it. And I think just expanding the way you look at partnerships in general is going to help your business kind of grow and beyond just the, like, if you're looking at a stool, you have three legs, you want multiple legs in case one goes out.
Oh, no, that's a fantastic point too. Cause I think, everybody that I've spoken with, the professionals and then just people in general, our ad costs continue to rise, and I think for the last 10, 15 years, we've all kind of become dependent on this kind of like cheap, instant, trackable marketing, which was provided through two platforms. You had Meta and you have Google. And so those are your two choices. They own everything. And then hopefully they'll be nice and not make advertising too expensive. But that's not happening anymore. So I think the route that you're talking about is not just affiliate, like, okay, we're going to recruit a community, they're going to send us traffic, we'll make money off of them, they'll make some money back. But it's really the new marketing method, which is people care about brands, they want to commit to brands that they like, they're tired of shopping, they're tired of going with the cheapest solution. They want to be in line with the creators of the products that they're using for ethical reasons or spiritual reasons or, just monetary reasons, whatever it is. But they want to commit to people because we're all tired of going to Amazon for everything. It's boring. We like little brands and we like to see, the companies that we're supporting succeed. And you can't do that with big business because who cares if they succeed, right? Like, they did great. They're already succeeding. I want to help everybody else. So I think your form of marketing is really the future, because it's community-based, it's authentic, and really it's makes both the brand and the people accountable to the product, which is ultimately for the customer. And so I love it. I think it's really the future. Now, you know, last question, just in regards to kind of how you built up your current affiliate program. Could you talk about how you use podcasting as, you know, a way to, you know, highlight your partners, but also build the partnership program itself?
Yeah. So podcasts. Okay. So 2017, our CEO, Matt Gallant, said, we're going to start doing podcast advertising, Joey. Like, I want you to learn more about it. I was like, yeah, cool. Let's do it. I had no idea what a podcast was. Like, literally, legit, I was like just behind on times, right? So I was like, whatever. I treated it like anything else. I'm like, it's just, it's a monetization opportunity. We'll figure it out. So we started to do some, you know, toes in the water testing. Ended up, we got a unicorn, like our big whale, you know, like the partner, like we got Dave Asprey at the time. And that was a huge stepping stone to going into this whole world of podcast advertising. And I had no clue how deep it went. So essentially what podcast advertising boils down to is there's pre-roll, end roll, mid-roll placements. There's interviews, there's organic mentions. There's dynamic placements, meaning it lives for like 30 days, then the ad goes away. And then there's baked in perpetuity ads. And, you know, they could be a different lens, but essentially the person is interrupting their episode and saying, you know, I've been struggling with sleep and now I use this product. Did you? So you got to be very careful with these ads because they can, you know, everyone wants to hit that skip button when it's like, this episode brought to you by, like, skip. So you got to get really creative. And if you have a great marketing team, podcast advertising, provided you got the right product, provided that you've got the right audience in front of that podcast, these are the most engaged listeners. You have people's attention span now for 60 minutes to 120 sometimes if you're like on the Rogan show, right? Like, these people engage their buyers. Like, you know, at the end, you've got, it's not just like a one-time thing that they're buying. Like, they're there for life at that point for the majority of podcasts that we've been on. So it's a really unique audience subset, but it's also a very hard game to get into. So I like to look at this as the biggest success thing you can do at the front, to front load this, if you can get on an interview with them prior to doing advertising or within the span of your test. And I like to do a 3-month test to start. I never do less, and I'll typically not try to do more. 3 months gives you good indication, good window, because if they hear one ad, they're not going to buy. It might take a few marketing touch points, as we all know. But then if you can amplify that with the credibility of you being on their show, provided you have a story that's in alignment with their audience, you know, that scales to, through the roof. Like, that there is a moneymaker to get onto their show. Now it's harder. And that's why podcast advertising isn't for everybody or the beginner. But when you can get there, it's not dead. And influencer marketing is not dead either. It's just evolving.
No, well, I think, you know, the podcasting side actually, you know, it is really in line with what you talked about before, which is that genuineness and the authenticity of, you know, the method, because you can't, it's hard to script a podcast. Like, you can come and sometimes I'll have guests on the podcast and they'll be very scripted, like, and now I'm going to talk about this. And you're like, okay, yeah, I'll let you present. I'll try not to interrupt you. But they don't really work because the audience knows it. The host usually knows it. And even the person guesting knows it. Like, okay, I'm doing a script. I've never been on a podcast before. I was told by my boss to talk about this product. And so I'm talking about the product. But I think the method in general for podcasting is it's hard to not be authentic because it's just a conversation between two people. And a lot of times you forget that you're recording the thing half the time, if you're good. Or if you're present. So that happens to me sometimes. And that's why I go off rambling about crap.
No, but it's good. You want them to be organically bringing you up in episodes that aren't even sponsored. They're just like mentioning, like, by the way, I love this Jawsercise thing. I love this. Like, you know, I'm using it right now. Look at these earbuds. Like, that's what you want. But that takes, again, mission-based, mutually aligned interest type of partners who love your stuff. Not just like, oh, yeah, I get a paycheck. I'll do a little sponsor mention for you guys. Like, so you got to be careful, and people get burned, and I can see why people don't want to get into influencer stuff, because I often hear, I spent $10,000 on somebody and I didn't make a dime back. What happened? And I was like, that's the story I hear often, and there's a lot to unpack.
Well, it's how much you put into it is what you're going to get out of it too. And it's not fast. And that's the struggle I've always had with content, because I tell people, like, all right, we're going to make this content plan. We're going to structure it. We're going to be cohesive on all these different channels, and here's how everything's going to flow. And a year from now, you're going to be so happy. And then it's like, nobody wants to hear the year from now, and that it requires this level of, you know, production and time and effort and all these things. But it's like, no, but it's like, it's a hockey stick. We're starting at the bottom, and a hockey stick just starts going up later, but it's going to hockey stick. You just got to put the work in. So I love that. So if somebody's interested in, say, your program, what can they expect, you know, to get started? How should they get started if they've never been involved in, you know, promoting products online? What are the startup tips?
So because we're limited in like amount of time we have here, I'm going to say I've got a bootstrapper's guide to influencer marketing. If you go to partnerprofits.com, you can get that. I also put together a bonus for today's episode because I wanted to treat your audience to something that would be useful for them based on today's conversation. So if you go to partnerprofits.com/digital marketer, there's going to be a bunch of tools. I love tools and I love free stuff for people where they can actually use it today rather than having to pay a big enterprise thing. Because for me, everyone's smart that, you know, we deal with on a regular basis. So first off, get your marketing program in place. Don't even touch affiliates until, you know, you're at the point where it's like, hey, I want to make more money now with the stuff I know it's working. Then you can scale it. So I do a bootstrapper's guide to influencer marketing. It's like a full comprehension on everything to do with the beginning phases. And then there's going to be more advanced training. But the other cool thing that I put together, and I just finished it like literally like yesterday, was it's a $100 million planning strategy for your teams using ChatGPT or AI equivalent. So I had to do like a 1-3-10-year plan to get to 100 million with the department. So it's a really interesting system. I went through it experimentally. It gave some really cool results. I know you're big into AI as well. So if anybody's interested in just like playing around with that and seeing the results you get, because it's really interesting to see what you get as outcomes on these prompts and expands your thought process on this whole, whatever you're doing. But I think partnerships related, you could say like, here are my goals. Here's what I'd like to do. And then go through the system. It's going to give you a 1-year plan, a 3-year plan, and a 10-year plan. And like I said, I use it. I'm going to keep evolving it because AI is never ending.
Yes. No, it's changing all the time. But the fact that you're, you know, I think you're highlighting one of the biggest advantages with AI is that we don't just have to give somebody a document now, like, hey, here's a document, learn the methodology and implement it yourself, figure it out. But now it's like, no, here's exactly what to do and exactly what to input. And here's the tool you need to execute the whole thing. And I think that's incredible that you put that together. So I'm definitely going to check it out because I've always been a fan. I think affiliate marketing really highlights the, you know, component of business that we miss a lot of times, which is that your community could be just as supportive as of the company itself by just talking about it as they can from buying from it. And I think that's, you know, that's what we all want. We all want to connect to the businesses that we, you know, use because we're giving them lots of money. And just getting the thing is nice, but I want to trust the people that are creating it because at the end of the day, you know, that's everything that you're doing is where you spend your money. Like that's where you're putting your energy. So thank you so much, Joey. This has been super informative. Definitely going to check out that download and, you know, the app that you talked about and your affiliate program, because I think, you know, I'm a big nootropic user and biohacker a little bit. I'm getting into it. We'll see.
Well, thanks for having me, Mark. It was a pleasure.
Awesome. And we'll have you back soon. I think there's a lot of detail. You know, we kind of covered the basics, but if you're interested in coming back, we can go into details about any one of those individual touch points that you talked about, because there's so much to unpack there. I think that'd be very helpful.
Love to.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to hit that follow button so you get notified when all of our new episodes release. Please share this with their friends who's clueless about digital marketing. And don't forget to visit digitalmarketer.com where you can access all of our courses, certifications, and training programs. Thanks again, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
This is Digital Marketer.
Get ready for the two easiest ways for you to generate product photos for your e-commerce store. I'm Lauren Petrullo, founder and CEO of Mongoose Media and Digital Marketer Academy faculty member. I've managed over 50,000 SKUs for over 100 different e-commerce sites, and I cannot tell you the importance of quality product photos. Not only are they important for your website, but they're great to be repurposed in your email marketing campaigns, your paid ad initiatives, and your organic social media content. It's imperative that you have great photos because great photos sell your products and start conversations with your consumers. There are two great solutions when seeking out quality product photos for your e-commerce site. One, UGC. We know that native user-generated content wins all day on social. When you can get your customers to share back their use of your products in their voice, in their personal applications, you will see dividends when that is repurposed in your paid ads and organic social feeds. Secondly, don't have customers or UGC yet? Not a problem. There are cost-effective solutions in which you can outsource that photography. This and so much more is covered in my modules in our e-commerce cert with Digital Marketer.